the Tarawih Salat last night, the 15th para was recited. Ya Allah, this is called Surah Bani Israel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah has mentioned the great importance of giving da'wah towards the truth, towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala in the beginning mentions three of the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Musa alayhi salam, and Nuh alayhi salam, that they gave da'wah towards the haq, towards the truth. And what great bounties Allah had granted them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, giving da'wah, he had to undergo great, great difficulties. And how he was oppressed. And eventually he was put in the shab Abi Talib, the valley of Abu Talib. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bore all of this for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a great favor, ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the great gift of Mi'raj. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown and taken towards the heavens from Masjid al-Haram, Makkah Mukarrama to Masjid al-Aqsa. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken to the heavens while he was in a state of wakefulness in his body. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken for this Mi'raj. It was a very, very great bounty and ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. And in here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was granted the great gift of namaz. The main reason is that we can build our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who do not accept this, we granted great bounties to Musa alayhi salam, also Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, also we protected them, saved them, gave them books of hidayat and guidance because they were obedient servants to us. On the other hand, the Bani Israel, the children of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they were great people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them in the Torah that when you will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will send people upon you. What a mubarak and blessed house, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Masjid al-Aqsa. Our Buzurg and our elders, Hazratani rahmatullah, has mentioned that there are two masjids in the world. One is Masjid al-Aqsa and one is Masjid al-Haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the system that Masjid al-Haram is divinely protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alam tara kayfa, in that surah Allah ta'ala mentions this. And the second masjid is Masjid al-Aqsa. And Masjid al-Aqsa will be according to the amal and the actions of the Muslims. If you look at the Muslim amal throughout the world, this is the, and you see what is the condition of Masjid al-Aqsa, then you will understand our condition in the world. According to the amal and good actions of the Muslim, if our actions are good generally throughout the world, then Masjid al-Aqsa will be under the control of the Muslims. If not, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will send my armies upon you people. فَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادَ لَنَا. We will send our armies, our servants. Kuffar also, but they are our servants. أُولِي بَأَسٍ شَدِيدٍ, very, very strong. فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ. They will just walk into the houses, into your houses. They will pillage and plunder. They will rape the woman. They will cause harm. They will take the masjid over. Great harm they will cause to the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَ أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. If you will do good, you will do good for yourselves. But if you will do wrong, then the harm will come back to you people. You come back towards deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the masjid back. And this has happened many, many times throughout history. Ulama have written about 6 or 7 incidents in the past ummah. And even in the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, Masjid al-Aqsa was conquered. And thereafter, for many years, 300-400 years, the Muslims controlled Masjid al-Aqsa. Until eventually, because of our evil actions, Masjid al-Aqsa was taken away by the kuffar and disbelievers. At that time, the mashayikh, the buzrugani deen, made great effort. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi, opened khankas. And throughout the world, throughout the Islamic era, there was a revival, awakening of deen. When it came into them, one person who came up from the khanka was Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi. And then eventually he went and Allah Ta'ala gave him the ability. But eventually he conquered again Masjid al-Aqsa. He united all the Muslim people. When Amal came into the Muslims, Allah gave them strength. And Allah gave them Masjid al-Aqsa. Today again our Amal has gone very, very weak. This is actually a punishment from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That why Masjid al-Aqsa has been taken away from us. So we have to get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Asa rabbukum ayya rahmakum. Perhaps soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy upon you. You need to draw the divine mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get Masjid al-Aqsa back. Many, many people unfortunately go for marches. They break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they desire to get Masjid al-Aqsa back in this way. It will never ever come. It only come with our amal and our actions. The more we will show our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in hadha al-Qur'an, you will follow this Qur'an Sharif, this book which Allah has given you. The more you will follow this kitab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and assistance will come. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that there are some people, unfortunately, their maqsad and object of life is this dunya. They're only working towards this dunya. Remember, no matter how much you will work for this world, you can only get how much has been muqaddar, how much has been written for you. You can't get any more than that. On the other hand, you will get another group of people, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ. They have made their object of life akhirat. They have made an intention that my life and my object of life is akhirat. وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَا. And they're not just saying I got intention, but they make effort. and which effort they are making sa'yaha, the correct effort. They're following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is the correct effort. And they've got the quality of iman. فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُ مَشْكُورًا. Such people's efforts are really appreciated in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what effort must a person do? He has to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill the rights of human beings. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the charter, you can say, the constitution of the Islamic government, the Islamic rule. The first and the most important thing is Allah ta'budu illa iyyahu. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is our master, our creator, our sustainer. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa bil walidayni ihsana. Immediately after Allah, worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is mentioning about parents here to show the great importance which parents have got in the life of a person. Our Hazrat says that there are three groups, categories. One is zulam and oppression, which is completely haram. You can never make zulam on your parents or any person. One is adal and ihsan, adal and insaf, to be equal, barabar. They do good to you, you do good to them. Dear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa bil walidayni ihsana. Not even equality, ihsan. Even if they do wrong to you, it comes in one hadith, wa in zalamaka, wa in zalamaka, wa in zalamaka. Even if they make zulam upon you, even if they make zulam upon you, even if they make zulam upon you, it is still your duty and responsibility to fulfill their rights. Parents have got a very, very great status in Islam. Whether your parents are Muslim, whether they are non-Muslim, whether they are fasiqs and sinners, whether they are people of piety and taqwa, the person has to fulfill their rights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if one of the two of them, or both of them, have to reach old age, while they are young also, but even more so when they become old, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even say akh to them. When a person has to change a napkin, then he has to, in such a way he must do it, that he mustn't even say, ah, oof, my father is like this, he's smelling, I have to bath him now. No word of displeasure should come out from one's mouth. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. And sometimes they will shout you, they will tell you many things, but you must not reproach them. You do not answer them back and start fighting with them, arguing with them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Speak to them with great honor, great respect. Don't call your father by his name, but call him by title of respect. And when you are speaking to him, have humbleness within yourself. وَقْفِذْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ ذُلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Not only in your speech, even in your actions, no matter how high you may be, you humble yourself, you lower yourself before your parents. They've got a very great status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you must make dua for your parents. If they are Muslim or non-Muslim, while they are alive, you have to make dua for them. And if they have passed away, you can only make dua for them if they are Muslims. But you must make dua for them. رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. This is the dua of the Quran Sharif. Some buzurugs and elders have mentioned that how there is five times namaz farz upon a person. The minimum times a person must make this dua at least is five times a day. That's right and duty of the parents. At least five times a day we should make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether our parents are living or they have passed away. And Allah ta'ala says, remember, you cannot fulfill the rights of your parents as according to the level. رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ. Allah knows exactly well what is in your heart, how much you are trying. If you are pious, you have got the quality of piety within yourselves, and you make tawbah, ya Allah, I cannot fulfill the rights of my parents. And in abundance you have to make tawbah. فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ لِلْأَوَّابِينَ غَفُورًا. Allah will forgive your sins, Allah will overlook you. Besides your parents, all your family members, the poor people, the travelers, fulfill their rights. وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. And never ever waste money. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Those who waste, who are extravagant, who like to just use the money in haram ways, they are the brothers of shaitan. They are very, very ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody comes to ask you for something and you cannot give him at that time, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then in a nice way tell a person, put him off. Do not be a vulgar to that person and do not be harsh to that person. On one hand also, you must not be so stingy, you're not giving no money in the path of Allah. On the other hand, don't be so generous that you fall into difficulty now. You're giving so much of money, you are falling into problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not kill your children out of the fear of poverty. As we had mentioned the other day also, it means do not kill your children physically also, because you are frightened of poverty. Spiritually also, do not kill them. A person sends them to the wrong environment just because he's worried, where will they get rosy and sustenance from? Allah says, we are the one who gives them rosy, and we are the one who will give you rosy and sustenance. And killing them is a very, very great sin. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina. Do not even come close to zina, fornication. It's a very, very evil action. Never ever kill any person which Allah has made haram upon a person. And do not come close to the wealth of the orphan people. Do not take their money. Do not use it in the wrong way. Fulfill your pacts and promises, because on the day of Qiyamah you will be questioned regarding that. All your business dealings, make sure you are weighing in full, you are paying in full, you are giving in full. Make sure your business dealings are up to standard. And in those matters which we have got no knowledge, do not run after that. Do not pass judgments upon other people. There are some things of deen you do not understand, do not run after it and give your own fatwa, your own opinion. Because remember, your eyes and your ears and your hearts will be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Do not walk on the earth with pride and arrogance, because you cannot tear open the earth, you cannot reach the mountains in height. Do not have arrogance within yourself. And again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have this quality within oneself. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great detail mentions a few mawani', few impediments which prevent people from accepting the truth. There are different things, ashkars and doubts which people have got in their hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that and He gives the answer towards that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says when a person speaks, he must speak in a very, very beautiful way. Because inna shaitan yanzaghu bainahum, even if he's giving da'wah towards other people, do not give it in a harsh manner. Shaitan wants to cause facade and trouble amongst people. He is an open enemy of human beings. So you must make sure you speak nicely. When you speak in a harsh way, in an incorrect way, then obviously fights will start, problems will start. Even if you are giving da'wah towards Islam, towards the truth, speak in a beautiful way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware exactly of what a person is doing. If Allah wants to, He will give hidayat and guidance to that person. If Allah wants, Allah will punish a person. You do your duty, but do it in the correct way. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if a person does not follow the haqq, does not follow the truth, he will become a slave of shaitan. And shaitan from the first day, he was not prepared to make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you give me chance, I will destroy the whole of mankind. They will not worship you properly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go, and I will give you some tools. وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ. Whoever you are able to, with your voice, you can try to must guide them, must lead them. The voice of shaitan is all in today's time, the media, the television, the radio stations, and all the other kind of media which they are using. This is all the voice of shaitan. And music, now some mufassirin mention music also. It's a very, very great tool of shaitan. The TV, when a person is watching that, he's listening to the voice of shaitan, and shaitan is misguiding people. وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ. And you can attack them with your horses and your men. One is physical, they can attack. There are many of the armies are under the control of shaitan. And the other, it can also mean in today's times, the different sports, for example, these are also the armies of shaitan. They are attacking human beings. People are becoming unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of that. وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. And you can become a partner of them in their wealth. How you will become a partner of them in the wealth in today's time? The riba institutions, the banking system, shaitan has become a partner in the wealth of people. And where people are getting money in all haram ways, Auladi, and in the children also become a partner with them, that you guide them on the wrong path from the time they are born in the hospitals today, that music is put in the ears of the child. When he gets a bit bigger, 5 years, 6 years, he's sent to the nursery school, the primary school, and in there most of the time they are indoctrinated with so much of kufr and so much of disbelief, and Darwin's theory of evolution, etc. Wa'idhum. And you continue promising them, giving them many, many promises. Allah says, وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Shaitan's promise is nothing but deception. And if you are the true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will protect you. Shaitan will not have any power over the day. The main thing is to build up your ta'aluk in connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the next surah is Surah Kaf, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the most important thing is a person must build up his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This surah Kaf, we are encouraged to read it on the day of Jumu'ah at least. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned something to the effect that the person who will read the surah every week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save him from the fitness of Dajjal. Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullahi alayhi has written that this surah, the theme of it, the subject matter of it is the fight between Iman and Maddiyat, materialism, which is the greatest fitna of Dajjal. That is why we are encouraged to read this there, where a person will be saved from the fitna of Dajjal by reading the surah. That a person must not become affected by materialism. On one side is Iman, a person's belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other side is materialism. Money, I must have more, I must have more. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which some ulama have written a whole kitab on this here to show how the surah will help a person in the time of Dajjal. Alhamdulillah illadhi, the first and most important thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this kitab. Knowledge is the most important thing to save a person. And this kitab, is the knowledge of this kitab a person must have. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجَى. There is no crookedness in this kitab. The knowledge is 100% straight. And all the other knowledge of this dunya, which is the fitna of Dajjal, is crookedness. It takes a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person must hold firm onto this kitab. Get the knowledge of this kitab. This kitab will save a person from many, many evils and from all the fitnas of Dajjal and from all the evils of shaitan, and he will be saved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one great people will cause harm to the Muslim people. وَيُنْزِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. Are the Christians, those who have said that Allah ta'ala has got a child. They are the ones. So the Muslims have to be very, very careful about them, not following in their path, in their footsteps. And as it is seen in the whole world today, generally everyone is following in their path and in their way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also that the earth, we have made it very, very beautiful for people. But the object of making it beautiful, لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ. Allah is testing people. Do not become deceived by this outward glamour of this world. And eventually Allah Ta'ala says everything will be completely destroyed. So do not become deceived by the outward glamour of this world. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a few incidents of people whose ta'aluk and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was strong. There was these young boys from the cave, a few young, about 7 boys. And around them there was all fitnas, all temptations, all evils. But they wanted to come in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they looked for protection. They were prepared to run away with the deen. But they were not prepared to accept the wrong and the religion of batil and falsehood. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, they went against the government of the time, the king of the time. But how Allah's protection came over them. They were going to a cave. And for 300 years, they remained in this cave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them to such an extent that even the sun, Allah ta'ala doesn't make the sun shine upon them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used a dog to protect them. A person who in this time also of fitna and fasad, he will hold firm unto his deen, stay in the company of the righteous people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use what means? The dog normally, it's napak, it's filthy, it's dirty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use even, which the Buzrus mentioned, that even napak people, even dogs, the dogs of the dunya, Allah will use them to protect and look after those people who have got the jazbah and the desire for deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions that some ways to get saved from all of these fitnas and evils around us. وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ. Making tilawat of Quran Sharif. The more a person will make tilawat of Quran Sharif, which will never ever change his book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be saved from all of these fitnas. The second and very important thing is wasbir nafsaka ma'al ladina yad'un. Staying in the company of the Allah walas, the friend of the Allah walas, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose object is the akhirat, stay in their company. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep a person protected. In today's time, the madaris, these are the company of the Allah walas, the khankas, the tabligh jamaat. In these groups, the person stays, he holds firm unto them. Inshallah, a person will be saved from many, many fitnas. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُطِعَ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ. Together with staying in their company is not sufficient. Follow them also, follow in their footsteps, in their path. Do not follow those people whose hearts are unmindful of our dhikr. Those people who follow their desires and their matters, they exceed the bounds. Be very, very careful about that. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions another example of people in the corporate world. One person is a very wealthy person, but he doesn't accept the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is my effort, what I have done. And he feels, and he takes people around, and he shows them his building, and he shows them his business. I've got this, I've got that. And he's forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's taken Allah ta'ala out of the equation. On the other hand, you get another, the believer. He's seeing all of these things, but he is not affected by this. And he's encouraging his friend, that my dear friend, why are you ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah created you from sand, from a sperm, and Allah made you a human being. And Allah has given you all of these bounties. How can you make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When you enter your business, why don't you say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. All of this has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I do not have any strength. It's only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Attributing everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not towards asbab and towards means. And maybe Allah will give you something far, far better than this. Eventually that person of this dunya, whatever he had, it was completely destroyed. Then a person was regretting after that, that if only I had listened to my friend, then it was too late for a person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us in here, we should not become deceived by material things, the outward glitter and glamour of this world. Therefore, after Allah gives an example, that this worldly life is like water which is coming down from the heavens. It's mixing up with the plantations, and then suddenly there's beautiful plantations, but it's just for a few days. And after a few days, eventually you see the plantations completely destroyed. In smithereens, small pieces, they are flying around and they have come to nothing at all. All people's empires and their businesses and what they had, smart things, eventually they go in the qabr, in the grave, and all of this becomes a deception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all the things you've got in this world, al-mal wal-banoon, your money and your children, they are only the outward beauties of this worldly life. But those actions which will remain forever and forever, the good actions, they are far, far greater. You can have hope in them when you will go in the qabr, on the grave, on the day of qiyamah, you will see. Because eventually this world is coming to an end, and eventually the kitab will be placed in your hands, and it will be said to a person, and the person will say, Ya waylatana, O destruction to us, ma li hadha al-kitab, what is wrong with this kitab? La yughadiru saghiratan wa la kabiratan, it hasn't left out any small action, any big action, illa ahsaha. But it has counted it, every single thing what we did in this world, it was written down. I have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah won't make zulam and oppression upon anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are not building up your ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are choosing shaitan as your friend, and shaitan is your open enemy. أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Are you taking him and his family and his progeny as your friends? بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا. What an evil badal, what an evil replacement you are taking. You could have had a ta'aluk in connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator of the world, and you are leaving aside Allah ta'ala and you are taking shaitan as your friend. You are taking him as a replacement for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are very, very foolish. وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ النَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ. Allah ta'ala says, in different ways we have tried to explain to human beings about Allah's oneness, building up your connection and ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it seems some people, they are only waiting for the adab of Allah to come down upon them. Then maybe they will want to change their lives. Then it will be too late for a person. But no matter how wrong you are, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَفُورُ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah is all forgiving. If you have done wrong and you realize you have done wrong, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Allah is full of mercy. Allah wants to give you people His mercy. If Allah Ta'ala wanted to punish you all, then long time ago Allah's azab would have come to you people. But Allah has given you chance. So do not delay until the time of your death comes. But long before that, a person has built up his connection and ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, the para ends off with the story of Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salatu salam, which inshallah tomorrow we will discuss. Allah Ta'ala give us true understanding.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We will read a hadith on the virtues of dhikr. عن معاوية رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج على حلقة من أصحابه فقال ما أجلسكم؟ قالوا جلسنا نذكر الله ونحمده على ما هدانا للإسلام ومن به علينا. قال آلله ما أجلسكم إلا ذلك؟ قالوا آلله ما أجلسنا إلا ذلك. قال أما إني لم أستحلفكم تهمة لكم، ولكن أتاني جبرائيل فأخبرني أن الله تعالى يباهي بكم الملائكة. رواه مسلم. حضور اقدس صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ایک مرتبہ صحابہ رضی اللہ عنہم کی ایک جماعت کے پاس تشریف لے گئے اور دریافت فرمایا کہ کس بات نے تم لوگوں کو یہاں بٹھایا ہے؟ عرض کیا کہ اللہ جل جلالہ کا ذکر کر رہے ہیں اور اس بات پر اس کے حمد و ثنا کر رہے ہیں کہ اس نے ہم لوگوں کو اسلام کی دولت سے نوازا. یہ اللہ کا بڑا ہی احسان ہے، احسان ہم پر ہے. حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کیا خدا کی قسم صرف اسی وجہ سے بیٹھے ہو؟ صحابہ رضی اللہ عنہم نے عرض کیا خدا کی قسم صرف اسی وجہ سے بیٹھے ہیں. حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ کسی بدگمانی کی وجہ سے میں نے تم لوگوں کو قسم نہیں دی، بلکہ جبرائیل علیہ السلام میرے پاس ابھی آئے تھے اور یہ خبر سنا گئے کہ اللہ جل جلالہ تم لوگوں کی وجہ سے ملائکہ پر فخر فرما رہے ہیں. نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم once found a gathering in the masjid engaged in the dhikr of Allah. He inquired to what they were doing. They replied, "We have stepped here to remember Allah and praise Him for guiding us to Islam." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to take an oath that this was the only purpose for them sitting there. After taking an oath, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I have not asked you to take an oath due to any suspicion of lies, but rather because Jibreel alayhi salam has just informed me that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu was boasting about you to the angels." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once found a gathering in the masjid engaged in the dhikr of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. He inquired as to what they were doing. They replied, We have sat here to remember Allah and praise Him for guiding us to Islam." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to take an oath that this was the only purpose for them sitting there. After taking an oath, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I have not asked you to take an oath due to any suspicion of lies, but rather because Jibreel alayhi salam has just informed me that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu was boasting about you to the angels." Inshallah, we should keep this hadith in mind and make our dhikr with this concentration. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. فاذكروني أذكركم، أنا جليس من ذكرني. تلمراه جايك ميدانه، توهي توهو ورميني تنميم جاي أبغن. درد دل غير سبيل كله وتجاي نزل. تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھو جدر. لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا. الہی دل میں میرے غیر کا اثر نہ رہے سوائے تیرے کسی پر میری نظر نہ رہے تو کر بے خبر ساری خبروں سے مجھ کو الہی رہو ایک خبردار تیرا الہی عطا ذرہ درد دل کے مرتا ہے بے درد بیمار تیرا کوئی تجھ سے کچھ کوئی کچھ چاہتا ہے میں تجھ سے ہوں یا رب طلبکار تیرا نہیں دونوں عالم سے کچھ مجھ کو مطلب تو ہی مطلوب میں ہوں طالب تیرا اتار امرک امید امداد حق سے تجھے غم ہے کیا لا 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 نفس و شیطان دونوں نے مل کر آئے کیا ہے مجھ کو تباہ اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر چاہتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ مجھ سا خلق میں کوئی نہیں گو بد کرداروں نہ معصیہ تو بھی مگر غفار ہے یا رب تو بھی مگر غفار ہے یا رب بخش دے میرے سارے گناہ اب تو رہے بس تاد میں آخر ورد زبائے میرے الہ کوئی مجھے سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں وہ ہو جائے میرا میں ہو جاؤں اس کا یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا ہوں اصل مجھ کو دنیا کی خواہش نہیں میں بخشش بروز جزا مانگتا ہوں اے ناراضگی جس کی دوزخ سے بھر کر اسی ذات کی بس رضا مانگتا ہوں اصل مجھ کو دنیا کی خواہش نہیں میں بخشش بروز جزا مانگتا ہوں اللہ اللہ کیسا پیارا نام ہے عاشقوں کا مینا اور جام ہے اللہ جل جلالہ اللہ الله الله إيتي شيرين استنام شير شكر ميس وجانم تمام خدای بندانا رسوا مکن گربدم من سر من پیدا مکن پانی بی بر جذبای مشتری شای در درمان دگارا وحنی ای خو آهران جز آسما هم دم نبود راز را غیر خدا محرم نبود اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله اللهم لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك واتمم علينا نعمتك واسبغ علينا من فضلك واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.